3. We're going to talk about something that has been written about, but not talked about in the way you're going to hear it described tonight. It's called the Deep State. And back tonight again to share some of his remarkable research is Herbert Dorsey. Hello, Herbert. How are you?
I'm fine.
Welcome back, my friend.
It's good to be back.
Yeah. Now, this whole thing about the deep state, another one of those new names, new words, that's been around forever, is still, I think, rather nebulous to a lot of people. So what we're going to do is, this hour, we're going to tell them what the deep state is, how it works. And first of all, what kind of research did you do on this? What, you usually just devour book after book.
Well, I already knew quite a bit from all the other books I'd read.
Yeah,
so I didn't really do that much research. I just kind of reviewed information I already knew about. But first, what I would like to do is explain what the deep state is.
Yes.
And then move on to how they're affecting current events.
And affecting, controlling, yeah.
Okay, so a lot of people find it very difficult to believe when I make the statement that the deep state is controlled by a religious organization. A lot of people would really find that very difficult to believe.
Right.
However, I'm going to go over a real quick summary of what's in my book, The Secret History of the New World Order. First of all, during the time of the Catholic Church, when the Protestant Reformation was going on, a new order was created. It was called the Society of Jesus. And the main mission of the Society of Jesus was to overcome the Protestant heresy that was affecting the Catholic Church. They were losing a lot of influence to the Protestant movement in Europe. Mm-hmm. So they created the Society of Jesus, which is also known as the Jesuits. And their mission was to fight heresy, to combat heresy. And their methods were very very secretive and very deceptive in many ways. The order was created by a fellow named Loyola, Ignatius de Loyola.
Yes.
And he was some people call him a crypto-Jew, but he wasn't. It wasn't really as sneaky as people thought, because what happened in Spain was all Jews and Muslims had to convert to Christianity or be expelled from Spain by order of the king. And so Loyola's parents, who were Jewish, converted to Christianity so they wouldn't have to be expelled, because if they got expelled, they would also lose all their property.
Well, let's not forget that the Muslims tell Christians, unless you convert to Islam, your head comes off. No expulsion.
That can happen also.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty, you know, some of these things can be pretty draconian. So anyway, he started this order, and he had already been a member of a group called the Alumbrados, which means the illuminated ones in Spanish. And they were a very secretive order, so he patterned the Jesuit order much after the secret order of the Alumbrados. But anyway, so their main strength is in their secrecy. And they don't really have an army, per se, to fight heresy. But they had developed a number of techniques to take on the heretics. And one of them was in countries that might have been Protestant, but also had a mixture of Protestants and Catholics, like Ireland and England and France. The Jesuits priests would preach from the pulpits that it wasn't a sin to kill a Protestant because they were heretics, and so it was okay to go out and kill Protestants.
Hmm.
And they were actually preaching this from the pulpit, mm-hmm. and this led to some really major massacres in Ireland. It was a really bad Protestant massacre in Ireland that finally had to be put down by Lord Cromwell when he landed his armies in Ireland and put it down. It also led to the massacre of the Huguenots in France and other really horrible massacres.
How many Huguenots were murdered? Do we know?
We're talking in the maybe 10,000. It was a tremendous amount.
Yeah.
And some of them even fled the United States and created a colony in North Carolina.
Huh.
And what happened was, in Florida they had the Catholic they had land down there. It was owned by by Spain at the time, and St. Augustine was a Catholic community. They actually sent a mission up from St. Augustine to wipe out the Huguenot colony in North Carolina. So, I mean, this shows you just how strongly these people felt about their religion. But anyway, to go on, the Jesuits were finally given the ability to do commerce, to carry on commerce by the Pope. This was very unusual because the only other time an order had been given the ability to do commerce was the Knights Templars.
Uh-huh.
And eventually they became the International Bankers of Europe. But they were finally outlawed because King Philip owed them so much money. King Philip the Fair. He owed him so much money, he figured, well, if we could get him outlawed, I wouldn't have to pay him back.
He
ended up installing three different popes in Avignon, because that's where the popes were operating in those days. And the first two finally reneged on the deal of outlawing the Templars because they were very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had them murdered, and then he put another pope in. Finally, on the third pope, he got one that would cooperate because he also imprisoned his brother and said he wouldn't be released until the Templars were outlawed. But anyway, getting back to the Jesuits, they had the ability to do commerce. And they actually owned, they brought the port of Nagasaki in Japan. The Jesuits were international. They had operations going in Japan.
They bought the port
China.
City of Nagasaki.
They owned it totally.
Wow.
And that was the main port for importing things into Japan. They also created the Dutch East India Corporation. And they also later on infiltrated and took control of the British East India Merchant Corporation. And these were the big original corporations that started doing trade. And they were given so much power that they could actually make their own laws where they set up colonies and like Hong Kong, places like that. They could actually make their own laws in those areas. But anyway, I'm just trying to show that the Jesuits weren't just a religious order. They were a very powerful commercial order as well. And they were very much involved in things like the opium trade. And they also were involved in the slave trade.
Mm-hmm.
And I mention all this in the book, The Secret History of the New World Order. Eventually, they also caused a lot of trouble in Europe. They had a lot of power and influence, but they also were going a little overboard, and the kings were accusing them of trying to start rebellions in their own kingdoms, and they were charged with a lot of financial crime and what they call subversion. They were also charged with, and they were putting pressure on the Pope to outlaw the Jesuit order because of all the trouble they were causing in Europe.
Right.
So finally, in 1773, they were in fact outlawed by the Pope. And they had to go underground because, something that powerful doesn't just disappear because you're outlawed. So they went underground and they created the Illuminati, which is one of the Jesuit teachers of canon law at University of Ingolstadt. Within 3 years after they'd been outlawed, had organized and instituted the secret order of the Illuminati, and that was Adam Weishaupt. But anyway, at the same time, the Jesuit general was formulating his own plans, and he actually organized both the American Revolution and the French Revolution. And people will be very skeptical of that statement, but if they read the book Rulers of Evil by an author named Tupper Saucy, they will see that he is...
Tupper Saucy. Tupper Saucy. He's an amazing man. I had him on the program several times.
Oh, Okay, so you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Rulers of Evil. He really outlines just how much influence the Jesuits had in creating the American Revolution. Now, most historians know the American Revolution was organized by Freemasons. But what they don't understand is these Freemasons had already been infiltrated by the Jesuits, and many of the Freemason lodges were actually controlled by Jesuits. So that's the part they didn't hear about in the history books.
Right. hear so much. There's so much missing in the history books. It's not even funny. Yeah.
Exactly. So I advise people read Rulers of Evil. He really outlines it very well. So the Jesuits were outlawed in 1773. By 1776, not only was the Illuminati created, but the American Revolution was in full sway. And Tupper Saucier's book, he goes to great lengths to show just exactly how they caused the American Revolution. From loading up the ports of the American colonies with a lot of tea that they had, and organizing the Boston Tea Party, and also the Stamp Act and all the other repressive measures. These were all being planned in England by the British Freemasons, while in the United States, the American Freemasons were already organizing the rebellion against it all.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I really recommend reading that one book if you're interested in that history.
Yeah, Tupper is an unknown, a great historian. He really, really was a remarkable man.
Yes. So anyway, the Illuminati, a lot of people have heard about it and may not understand that it's really a Jesuit creation. It was created by them after they had been outlawed by the Pope. And it didn't affect the Jesuits in countries where that weren't ruled by, like Protestant countries, they were left alone. But in the Catholic countries, they weren't. Mm-hmm. Their property was confiscated. They had to shut down their universities and things of that nature. So they had all this tremendous economic power. And they instigated a lot of things in Europe. One classical one was the 30 Years' War. Now in Germany...
Always war. We're overdue for a war, you know that.
Well, Jesuits are the main instigators of wars.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it works is... first of all, I have to say that after their order was created in Europe, they became so effective at combating heresy, or people who, like Protestants, that they were actually put in charge of the Inquisition. Before that, the Dominicans were in charge of the Inquisition, but after the Jesuit order was created, they pretty soon put them in charge of the Inquisition because they were so effective at combating heresy.
Hmm.
So the Catholic historians say that when the Jesuit general was arrested after the order was outlawed, he was imprisoned at Gandolfo Castle, which is near where the Pope lives, not too far away. And he was questioned by the Inquisition. But that's kind of a laugh because the Inquisition was run by the Jesuits. So they probably were pretty easy on the guy, actually. Instead of torturing him like they do with most people, they probably didn't get any information out of him at all. So anyway, getting back to more modern times, the 30 Years' War, before it started, Germany was mostly a Protestant. The majority of Protestants. After it was over, the Catholics were very much in the ascendancy in Germany. So you see, the real reason for the 30 Years' War was basically the Jesuit way of combating heresy. They would instigate the war, the kings would provide the armies, and they would wipe out as many Protestants as they could.
Mm-hmm.
And so another historian, a guy by the name of Edmund Paris, he wrote that Secret History of the Jesuits. He gets into that aspect of it. So anyway, now we got the Illuminati, a Jesuit organization. They very much infiltrated a lot of the Freemason lodges and took them over. And we have the original head of the Illuminati was Adam Weishaupt. And one of the early things that happened was They sent their agents to the Vatican, and Amschel Mayor Rothschild was a member of the Freemasons, and he was also a member of the Illuminati. He had been inducted into it. So they sent their agents to the Vatican and said, look, this guy at Rothschild, he's really an excellent banker. He's turning profits all the time. The guy's totally trustworthy. I think you should make him the guardian of the Vatican treasury. And they talked the Pope into making Mr. Amschel, Mayor Rothschild, the guardian of the Vatican treasury. So, and this was a time when the Jesuits were outlawed. But because of the connection to the Illuminati, they had access to all the wealth of the Vatican to fund their different enterprises. And the next enterprise they had after the American Revolution was the French Revolution. And that's where they got the financing to organize the French Revolution.
Wow, and look how graphically violent it was.
And so, you know, we hear about, oh, God, they had a reign of terror afterwards.
Yeah.
Hundreds of people were guillotined. It was just, you know.
Well, an entire elite class was done away with.
That's right, including Marie Antoinette, who was really an advocate.
Well, the king,
people.
Too.
Yeah. So anyway, what I want to say is this deep state is really being run by a series of people who work together. And one of the big groups is are the Jesuits. There's also the Black Nobility, which are old Italian families that made their money back during the time when Venice was one of the big trading colonies, trading provinces in the Mediterranean. Their main competitor in those times was Constantinople.
Huh.
And during the Fourth Crusade, they persuaded the Crusaders to attack Constantinople and wipe them out because they wanted to get rid of their competitor. And that's what they did with the Fourth Crusade. They sacked Constantinople and raided all the treasure out of it and everything.
So, remember that song? Remember the song? You can't go back to Constantinople.
Yeah.
Because it's not Constantinople anymore.
It's
Istanbul.
That's right. Well, they renamed it after not after that raid. What happened is it weakened Constantinople so much that later on the Muslims were able to invade the port and take it over, and then they renamed it to Istanbul. But getting back to the Jesuits, they had the Black Nobility, these ancient Italian families, a lot of them from places like Florence and Venice, and big places where they had these tremendous guilds and made all kinds of money and stuff. This is old money that goes back, you know, like centuries and centuries. That's the Black Nobility. They have probably the most wealth in the world. Some of them are very powerful. But then they combine forces with the Illuminati. They all work together. And then there's the one that John Coleman brings out. It's called the Committee of 300. They were basically the people who worked on the East India Merchant Corporation, made tremendous profits in the opium trade. And basically, they created a committee of 300 men to operate this thing. And the same number of men had been sent down through the centuries to still run it. And that's the Committee of 300 that John Coleman writes about in his book by the same title, The Committee of 300. So anyway, these are the people that form the deep state. Now, if you read John Coleman's book, he talks about a lot of the people involved in it.
John was a good friend of mine. Many appearances on this program. He's in his 90s now, and he's still with us, I guess.
Yeah, he's been around.
Yeah, he's
revealed a lot of stuff.
He was one of the people who opened the door, and so many grabbed onto what he did and made minor careers for themselves on his work. That's the truth.
So now we got the Rothschild family, which still has access to the Vatican's wealth. they don't talk about it, but he does. Mm-hmm. He's got his own wealth as well. He's multiplied his own fortune.
Yeah.
His sons and daughters and their offspring have all multiplied their wealth to a tremendous degree. So one component of the deep state are the international bankers that started with the Rothschilds but then spread out to, they invested in American bankers like J.P. Morgan, Rockefellers, and that's how they got their start with loans from the Rothschilds, and they were linked together with the Rothschilds. A lot of their policies are linked. So they have this thing called the international bankers, which are, you know, you can read a lot of stuff on that. That's one component of the deep state. And there's another researcher named Alvaro Manhattan. He wrote a book called The Vatican's Billions, and he outlines how the Vatican invests their tremendous wealth. They really are the greatest corporation on the planet, the Vatican is. Mm-hmm. It far exceeds the wealth of people like Bill Gates and people like that. They say he's the most wealthy, but the Vatican has a lot more assets. Mm. Well, anyway, they invest their money, surprisingly, in things like construction companies and defense contractors. They develop, first they have a war, cause tremendous destruction, and then they go where the construction companies rebuild all the destruction. Mm. And so they're making money, you know, first with the war, and then again when they rebuild the country after the war is over, like they did after World War II in Europe.
Right.
So anyway, it's important to realize that, you know, they have a large, the Jesuits themselves have a large investment in companies like Lockheed Martin and General Electric.
Oh, I'm not surprised. Hold on, Herbert, if you would, I've got to take a break here at this point. We'll come right back and continue our stroll through history as we come current with Herbert Dorsey. Amazing. Just hang on. A couple minutes, we'll be right back.
Okay.
Let's return to our narrative with Herbert Dorsey, learning about the deep state and its roots. We're getting closer here. You'll understand where it's all going. Go ahead, Herb.
Okay, I just thought of a couple of more historical things that I really need to cover to give the full story.
Sure.
A lot of people say, well, gee, the Jesuits are not outlawed now. They still are, you know, Vatican still has the Jesuits. And so what happened was after the French Revolution, the Jesuits, while they were still outlawed, promoted the career of a fellow named Napoleon. And they pretty much controlled Napoleon, and they directed many of his military campaigns. So one of the campaigns they directed was his campaign against the island of Malta. And this was the headquarters of the Knights of Malta. And this was...
That's why they sent him there.
And this was where the Vatican's military, the Knights of Malta were like the Vatican's military, like the Knights of Templars used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so they took over the Knights of Malta and gained control of them by Napoleon's invasion of the island of Malta. Then they had them invade Italy. They invaded Italy and arrested the Pope. And you have to understand, after the French Revolution, there was a very strong anti-Catholic movement in France at that time, and they shut down a lot of the Catholic churches, and they really ridiculed the popes and the clergy, you know, the cardinals and bishops of the Catholic Church. And it was very anti-Catholic after the French Revolution. And so they had the Pope arrested, and you have to understand the reason why was because the Pope had outlawed the Jesuit order, and they were in control of the French Revolution. So they were sort of getting revenge against the Catholic Church for having him outlawed. Well, the Pope was informed that he would be given, he was put in prison, and he was informed by Napoleon that now he would get his freedom if he would reinstate the Jesuit order. Well, the Pope really didn't want to do it, but after 5 years of being in prison, he finally gave in and agreed to reinstate the Jesuit order.
Right.
So then that, in 1814, it was reinstated under those circumstances, and so now it's still part of the Catholic Church. The other thing
How big, Herbert, a part of the Catholic Church is it? Is it the head on the beast?
Well, I'm going to explain that.
All right.
Two things happened after the Jesuits were reinstated. The first thing that happened is that they didn't need Napoleon anymore, so they had him arrested, and then he was sent off to St. Helen. The other thing that happened was now the most powerful force in the Vatican was the Jesuits. They controlled the Knights of Malta, and they they basically dictated the terms of, you know, what was the Pope was going to do. So they were, after 1814, they have been the ones that actually control the Catholic Church, the Jesuit order does.
I see.
And they have to, you know, the Pope has to basically do what they tell him to do. And there's been a few popes that didn't, and they ended up dying fairly quickly. I can mention a few of them if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Pope Pius XII was one of them.
Well, we had one die here. Recently, not too many years ago.
Yeah, but I mean, I just wanted to bring that up for the Catholics out there that are wondering, well, how come we still have a Jesuit order then? The other thing I wanted to mention was more recent history. I'm trying to remember what I was going to say. Anyway, that was an important thing about the Jesuits being reinstated after the Pope was arrested. Then we had the Civil War. You know, we had the Revolutionary War, and then we had the War of 1812. Well, the War of 1812 was caused because the First Bank of the United States, the British had a lot of investment money in the First Bank of the United States. It had a 20-year charter, and so they controlled a lot of what went on for the First Bank of the United States.
Uh-huh.
Well, it was causing things like boom and bust cycles. They would make money real easy and easy credit. People would borrow and buy farms and start businesses, and then they would tighten up the money, and so then these people had to lay off employees, and farmers couldn't repay the mortgage payments, and the stuff would get repossessed. And by doing these cycles of boom and bust, the banks would keep profiting at the expense of the people.
Right.
And so by the 20-year period when the charter was supposed to be renewed, and it was 1811, it was supposed to be renewed, they voted it down. They said, don't renew it. We don't like what they've been doing. And so the English got really upset because this was their way of still getting money out of the colonies, even though they were kicked out.
Uh-huh.
So that caused the War of 1812. And, you know, Jackson, he was the big hero, Battle of New Orleans, and defeated the British. And then he knew the banks were in big trouble, and so he basically paid off the national debt while he was the president, because it was by the power of lending money that they gained control over our country. So anyway, we now have an astronomical debt that can never be paid back. You know,
never.
No way, never. And that's the bankers control our country through that indebtedness.
Right.
And they're all connected with, like, the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. And the biggest bank in the whole pyramid of banking power is the Bank of International Settlements, located in Basel, Switzerland. It has more power than the International Monetary Fund. And it basically is, if you had a pyramid of, or a hierarchy of power, the top bank is the Bank of International Settlements, the BIS.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, as part of what the deep state is. And as I said, the Jesuits through their control of the Vatican and the Vatican's wealth, have invested heavily in not only construction companies, but also destruction companies, defense contractors. So they go and blow up everything, and then the other people build it up, and they make profit in both ways.
That's right.
Now, getting into more recent times, there's a number of researchers that suspect that both Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton are both blood relations of the Rockefeller family.
Right.
Hillary Clinton through Nelson Rockefeller and Bill Clinton through Winthrop.
Yeah, Winthrop might have been his daddy.
Yeah. Now, I can't prove it one way or the other, but it does raise an interesting issue here, because they're definitely deep state. Both Clintons are definitely deep state. My own research is into the Clinton family was when they were in college, when Bill was at Georgetown, he was inducted into the CIA, became an agent of the CIA, and then he was sent to, he got his Rhodes Scholarship, and he was sent to Oxford in England, and he spent a very short time there, and basically he was just doing work for the CIA there. He was befriending getting together with anti-war activists in Oxford, and filing their names to the CIA. Then he went to Yale after that, and Hillary Rodham was going to Yale at the time, and she also was inducted into the CIA at Yale. Later on, they both got together and were having a love affair, and the CIA figured, well, you know, since you guys are together so much, it'd probably be a good front if you got married. So basically, the CIA told them to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill was, you know, he liked to screw around with a lot of different ladies. And Hillary, basically, she had lesbian tendencies, so she didn't really mind that much.
Correct.
But the CIA figured it would be a good front if they got married, so they did.
Yeah.
And basically, Hillary was Bill's handler. The CIA appointed her to be Bill's handler because they knew he had a problem with sex. And so when he created a big mess, it was her job to go in behind him and clean it up, basically.
Uh-huh.
And she actually would get people to threaten. A lot of people were threatened by Hillary, people that were lovers of Bill Clinton.
Well, we think a lot of people were killed because of this, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, there recently has been a guy who's come forward and said, he basically admitted on some show, I forget.
That was Larry Nichols.
Okay, that's right. And he said, yeah, I was a hitman for the Clintons. I'd kill people for the government, and I'd kill people for the Clintons if they told me to bump off somebody.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm thinking, well, God, they got their own hitman. But the thing is that I think because of this relationship with the Rockefellers, a year before Bill Clinton became president, he was invited to join the Bilderberg Group.
Uh-huh.
It may have also been because he, as governor of Arkansas, he was his job for the CIA was to kill any investigations into the MENA drug trafficking operation the CIA was operating. And so he would kill any investigations as governor. And he did a good job of that. That was probably another reason they decided to invite him to join the Bilderberg Group.
Mm-hmm.
That's another component of the deep state is the Bilderberg Group. And people can look it up on the Internet and find out all about how it was created. But there was a strong Jesuit component in the creation of the Bilderberg Group and a strong Nazi component as well. The Nazis were never defeated in World War II. Germany was. The German military was defeated, but not the Nazi Party. The Nazi Party continued on afterwards. A lot of it was done in Argentina and Spain.
Right.
And one of the fellows, one of the big fellows was Otto Schwarzenegger. He helped to do a lot of logistics.
Otto Skorzeny, yeah.
Skorzeny, okay, I'm not pronouncing it right.
That's right.
Skorzeny. I didn't realize how it was pronounced. Well, anyway, he would carry out the stuff. Martin Bormann was the main planner. Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun were spirited away to Argentina.
Yep.
By U-boat, and there's a number of books now on that subject. They stayed at Il Naco Estates at San Carlos de Bariloche in Argentina.
I wish you had, you know, Herbert, I have done many programs on that here, so you're talking to a very well-informed audience Nalco, yes.
Now, more recently...
I've got pictures of him in 1947 at the Eden Hotel, which you probably have seen. Go ahead.
Well, there's one group called the Shark Hunters that's done a lot of...
That's Harry Cooper. That's my source,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So, anyway, the Fourth Reich was continuing on. The Nazis knew they were going to lose the war by 43, and so they had a plan B, and that was to take a lot of their best men, technology, and a lot of money, and transfer it over to neutral countries, and then continue on with their efforts after the war. And that's basically what's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
One interesting source of information on the Fourth Reich is a guy named Corey Good. I'm sure you know who he is.
Yeah.
And Corey Good, he was on one of these 20 in back programs on Solar Warden, the Secret Navy Space Fleet.
Uh-huh.
And I talk about that in some of my other books, which you're advertising on your site, Inside the Secret Space Programs being the latest one.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was on this Solar Warden research vessel. And he was on it for 20 years, and there was a lot of boredom in his job. But he did have access to a lot of information, which were stored on these smart glass pads. And so he spent a lot of time reading this information. And this is basically the real history of what goes on the planet Earth that's basically been hidden from the rest of us. And part of that history was the fact that the Germans had created a secret base in Antarctica, which they called New Berlin. It was an area of Antarctica, which the Germans called New Schwabenland. They basically were developing their flying saucers to where they could go out into space. They actually created a base on the moon and then later on Mars. And this is all in the history on these smart glass pads.
Mm-hmm.
But not only that... Operation High Jump was supposed to wipe out this German colony. Our intelligence knew all about it. And so they sent Admiral Perry and another admiral down there with a number of ships.
Admiral Byrd.
Admiral Byrd and Cruzen. I think Admiral Cruzen was the other admiral.
Right.
They sent aircraft carriers, destroyers, submarines. And they were going to wipe out this base, and they tried to disguise it as a scientific operation. Well, anyway, they failed because the Germans had much superior technology. They had flying saucers that could come out of the ocean and fly without making any noise. You know, they were silent, and they could fly much faster than their planes could, and they had ray guns that they would shoot down our planes with, and they caused quite a few casualties. Eventually, they cut off the whole operation and retreated back to the United States. Well, anyway, after all that, Truman is in power, and he says, well, I guess we'll have to use a nuclear weapon on the base. That was his idea. Well, by this time, we had all these Nazis in the United States that we had brought in Operation Paperclip, and they got wind of Truman's plan, and they informed their people down in Argentina and Antarctica what was planned. And so they sent up a whole fleet of flying saucers over Washington, D.C. in
1952.
It was a massive overflight, several different waves over a couple of weeks' time. And basically they were showing Truman that, we can wipe out your capital probably a lot easier than you can wipe out our base. And so basically through the paperclip Nazis, negotiations started between these Nazis in Antarctica and Truman.
Mm-hmm.
And Truman didn't like a lot of their demands, but he did agree to leave the base alone and not nuke it. Later on, the negotiations continued into the Eisenhower regime or presidency, and finally Eisenhower agreed to a treaty with them which would basically turn over the U.S. military industrial complex over to the Nazis. And they had already infiltrated our CIA by that time, and a lot of other industries. A lot of them were hired by industries because mm-hmm. they had all this marvelous technology. They basically took over a lot of the industries, mm-hmm. but they didn't do it like, you know, like the movies portray the Nazis. It'd be like they did it very cleverly, and they pretty well, you know, incorporated in with the U.S. and talked English and talked nice. But they basically mm-hmm. took over control of it. And we've been at war ever since. This happened by 1960, and we've been in continual war since they took it over. And basically, and I stated in my book that the Jesuits had a large influence in their takeover. They have a lot of influence in this country. You know, people don't realize how much secret influence
right.
the Jesuits actually have. Even before the war, you know, before we were in war with Germany, there was a Jesuit priest called Father Conklin who was giving all these pro-Nazi speeches
uh-huh.
you know, over the radio. A lot of people remember that. They're old-timers do anyway. So basically, we've been taken over by not only the Jesuits, but the Nazis, which, you know, the Jesuits did create the Nazis. That's all pointed out in
George Herbert Walker Bush, what do you think of the story that he was originally German? Is that...
I think, well, okay, now the source of that story is this Otto Skorzeny.
Otto Skorzeny, yeah.
Skorzeny. Yeah, now, what was interesting, he was brought into the CIA about the same time that Herbert Walker Bush was being inducted in the Order of Skull and Bones, which, by the way, that secret society was also created by the Jesuits.
Hmm.
So Skull and Bones is a Jesuit creation.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Skorzeny says he knew Herbert Walker Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, hmm. because he was also inducted into the CIA at the same time when he was in Yale. So you see, he's been a deep cover CIA agent since he was in Yale. And you have to wonder, well, why did they make him a director of CIA when he had no previous CIA experience that we knew about anyway?
Right.
Turns
That's
out
right.
he was in the CIA right along. And the CIA definitely is a large component of the deep state. And why I say that is, you know, there was a number of secret organizations in the United States. One of them was the FBI. It was created by J. Edgar Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover was a Knight of Malta. Did you know that?
No.
Okay, he was a Knight of Malta, and the Knights of Malta are controlled by the Jesuits. So the FBI was set up by the Jesuits,
uh-huh.
you might as well say, even though
uh-huh.
it was... Okay, uh-huh. now we get the CIA. Well, who set up the CIA? It was William Donovan and Alan Dulles.
Wild Bill.
Both happen to be Knights of Malta. Did you know that?
How funny.
Yeah. Okay, now later on we get the Department of Homeland Security set up. And the first secretary of the Department of Homeland Security was Michael Chertoff. And he also is a Knight of Malta. So we see the strong influence the Vatican has mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. through this FBI, CIA, as well as the Department of Homeland Security.
Sure.
They were set up all by agents of the Vatican, which is controlled by the Jesuits. So anyway, this is kind of gives you an idea of who the deep state really is. It's the international bankers, it's the Jesuits, it's the Illuminati, which they set up. A lot of people have heard the story about Albert Pike. You know, he was
yes.
the head of the Illuminati
oh, yes.
in the United States.
I was quoting from his letter earlier this evening.
Yeah, he had a
letter to
Manzi,
Mazzini, yeah.
Who was the Italian head of the Illuminati in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, in his letter, he had a plan for creating a global government using three world wars.
Sure did.
You know, and he pretty much outlined what happened, and this was back in the late 1800s.
1871 is when that letter came out. That's so remarkable.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not just making this stuff up. There's lots of historical proof.
Well, so that, in a nutshell, is where the deep state came from and who it is. You just have to understand.
How are they influencing what's going on right now?
Yeah, okay. Are they telling Trump how to cross his T's and dot his I's?
Well, you know, there's a number of people. First I'll get back to Corey Good. Corey Good says there's a secret space program alliance that has rebelled against the secret space program because they had these colonies on Mars, which they basically, the people who work in these colonies are basically slave labor. They can't return to the Earth. They're owned by the Mars Colony Corporation. And they've been told the Earth has been wiped out. This civilization, our planet, had a big cataclysm, and they can't go back. One of the lies they told them. Anyway, so there's people that rebelled against it in the secret space program because a lot of them were American officers who took an oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution. And they felt that there was a lot of unconstitutional stuff going on. But anyway, there's also what Corey Good calls the Earth Alliance. And these are people who allied themselves to fight the cabal or the deep state. And their more apparent outward appearances are the BRICS nations who have signed on to creating an alternate financial system. Instead of being ruled by the present one that's controlled by the Rothschilds, they're going to create their own, which they won't use fiat currency. They'll use gold to back it up. And the Bank of Reconstruction that China has set up, which is also going to be used that way to develop infrastructure in developing countries. Well, so these are against the, these people are in opposition to the deep state right now. And, you know, Dr. Pizniak, I think it is.
Pizniak,
yeah. I'm sorry about my pronunciation of some of these.
No, they're tricky names.
Okay, now he's gone on record as saying that he supported Trump. Now, there's a part of the intelligence agency in the military that's opposed to what's going on, and they're trying to clean up a lot of criminality that's been going on inside the deep state. And so they were promoting Trump to put him in power. But now they're a little troubled by what he's been doing. I mean, you know the big difference between his campaign promises.
180 degree difference.
Yeah, a big difference. I was willing to give Trump the benefit of the doubt right up to the time when he launched the Tomahawk attacks on Syria.
Yeah.
And I even wrote some commentary that with that attack, he has joined the long list.